this morning as we preach about freedom. John chapter number 8 and verse number 36. John 8 and 36. Turn to your neighbor and tell them how glad you are to see him. Amen. Some of you turned to your neighbor and went, "Hi." Amen. John chapter number 8, verse number 36. Are you there?
Amen.
Amen. If the Son therefore shall make you free. If the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed.
Hallelujah.
Amen. There's a lot of, I went to a Dave Ramsey course one time and I bachelored. Because I remember when there was people that got debt free and they cut up their credit cards and they screamed, "I'm free!" They get all excited about that. And I was getting close to that day to do that, and I backslid. So I know what it is to backslide. Man. But when Jesus sets you free, you're really free. I said, when Jesus sets you free, you're really free. Amen. God bless you in Jesus' name. As you're seated, turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter number 3. The Old Testament here depicts the original, if you will, incident of sin and the fall of man. I want to preach to you today. I want to teach so many things here this morning that I've got on my heart, and I pray that you'll stick with me. I will do my very best to stay focused and go fast, but not too fast. Amen. So there's many intricate parts of what I want to preach here today. Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 6 said, "And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons." We already talked about this here not too long ago, and man, that they must have been busy making aprons, because leaves dry up and fade away. So it didn't work very long, and it wasn't really an appropriate covering. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid. Everybody say hid. They first heard God, and then they hid from God. Amen. They hid from his presence amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" Oh, I can preach there today for a little bit, but I'm not going to. But I do believe that question begs an answer. As God will ask each and every one of us, "Where are you? Where are you? Where are you today in our relationship? What's going on in our relationship here today?" You see and understand that that's what this was about relationship. I believe the voice of God is calling some folks. You're not here by accident today. You're not here by chance today. But it is Almighty God that is reaching for you. Some way say, "Well, I'm here because my husband's put pressure on me. Or my wife's put pressure on me. Or I'm here because of my kids. Or I'm here because of my parents." Or whatever the case is, I'm going to tell you today, I know without a shadow of a doubt, if you didn't really want to be here, you wouldn't be here.
Right.
I said you wouldn't be here if you really didn't want to be here. But I believe no matter how much you try to hide it and cover it up, you want to be here. here. You want to be here. There's someone inside of us that knows. And Lord, I got to be saved. There's some of us even in the sound of my voice today that you're miserable. You're undone. You're a mess. You don't know really what life is going to bring you, how it's all going to turn out. And you want to believe that you're going to be happy living the way you are, but you know that you aren't. And you need to be set free. I said you need to be set free. And when finally Adam and some of us need to talk back to God, and not in a smart aleck way, young people. I said we need to talk back to God. And we need to say, he's saying, he's calling some of us, say, where art thou? Well, God, you see, I'm living in sin. I've got this attitude. I'm offended. I'm hurt. I'm insecure. I'm selfish. I'm this. I've got all kinds of problems. You need to start talking back to God and say, God, I'm a mess. I ain't got it all together like I need to get it together. Amen. And that's when Adam said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid. Everybody say afraid.
Afraid.
Amen. That's what sin makes you. It makes you afraid to really communicate and talk with God, because I was naked. Everybody say naked.
Naked.
I was exposed to everything. I didn't feel any protection. I'm vulnerable. I'm vulnerable, therefore I hid myself. In this willful act of disobedience against God, Adam lost that close communion with his Maker. And ever since then, mankind, humankind in general, has been emotionally afraid, has been naked, and has continued to hide. I want you to get that. We've been afraid, we've been naked, and we've continued to try to hide. Some people try to hide behind education. Some people have tried to hide behind religion. Some people have tried to hide behind drug and alcohol abuse. Some people have tried to hide behind money. There's all kinds of things that you can hide behind. And we're all guilty of those things today. Our problems all stem from the fact that we are separated from the presence of Almighty God. The reason why people continue on in their addictions, they continue on in their obsessions, they continue on in these things that draw them further from God, is because of these things keep us from those presence, but we don't know how to get back to his presence. But when, and hear me well today, when you become, and I'm going to use this term liberally here this morning, when you become a Christian, and Christian is a huge word, and I've said it before, I'll make sure I say it again. If you call me a Christian, thank you for the highest compliment, but I'm not going to ever say I am a Christian, because to say that, you are saying I am Christ-like. So maybe you used that term Christian a little loosely.
Right.
Yeah, I'm a Christian. Well, let me rephrase that statement. I'm trying to be a Christian. I'm trying to be a Christ-like. My attitude doesn't always portray that. My actions don't always portray that. But I do want you to know I am trying to be like him. Oh, hallelujah. I believe today if more people would think of that in that right terminology, they would begin to refrain from being so haughty and arrogant, saying how Christ-like they really are, and
right.
Giving the finger.
Right.
Or say beep, 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 like the Roadrunner. I heard somebody while I was standing there in Home Depot yesterday, as a matter of fact. I heard a guy on the next aisle say, oh yeah, I've been praying to God, blankety blank blank, he would do blankety blank blank for me.
Wow.
Whoa. Well, okay, those two don't go together. Man, that's a true oxymoron. Praying to God, blankety blank. Okay, Hang on a second. But there's some that don't even realize that they're hiding behind so many different things. But I want to become, I want to be more Christ-like. And when I become, now can I use that term liberally? When I become a Christian, the curse is reversed. The curse is, I want you to get that in your mind. The curse is reversed when you become like Christ. When you die out to your old man. When you become new, a new creature in Christ. The curse is reversed. Amen. I want us to look at the benefit package. How many of us get a job without wanting to know what the benefit package is? And maybe some of us go in there to get a job just because we want a paycheck. That's all we care about. Don't care about insurance. Don't care about that. I just want to make sure I'm getting $5 an hour at least after everybody gets their portion. So I want to know the benefit package.
Right?
Huh? Is there a 401k? Is there this? Is there a retirement? And how much is going into it? Is there a health benefits? And some people will say, it's got health benefits, but it's sorry. It ain't no good. Those benefits are worthless. Amen. But I want to look at the benefit package in the Word of God. When one becomes Christ-like, when one becomes a Christian, amen, all of your sins are forgiven. Pack it. Come on now. Benefit number one. All of your sins are forgiven. Colossians 2 and 13 said, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven all. Everybody say all.
All.
I like this benefit package. Amen. All of my sins are forgiven. All of my trespasses are forgiven. Blotting out the handwriting of the ordinance. Oh, there were some things that were written in this word that he said, I'm against that. My law says no, and I did it anyhow. But I'm thankful that I signed up and I hired on to be in a one God apostolic compunction Holy Ghost field Christian believer. Because when I realized what the word said, what the ordinance said, I said, woo, I like the benefit package. And if I'm going to get the benefit package, I got to get to a place of forgiveness in my life.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, maybe some of y'all will come on with me a little bit further as we go along, which was contrary to us. That ordinance was contrary to me because it didn't let me do what I wanted to do, act like I wanted to act, and live like I wanted to live. That's what some people have defined as freedom, doing what you want. But honey, let me tell you something. You can't do whatever you want to do. Somebody's going to tell you what to do. Somebody's going to tell you how to do it. And it might be all the way at the big house when you get to jail because you wanted to do whatever you wanted to do. Don't raise your hand, but if you've ever been in jail, I was a correction officer one time, and I've been in there, and I see what goes on, and I know what's going on. And they get up when you say get up. They eat when you say eat. Everything is very, very, very regimented to the very within a few seconds. Doors open and close within a few seconds.
Right.
If it's time to go to chow hall, man, everybody, as soon as you hear the airlocks come open and the prison doors open, they're already there at the bars, ready to push the door open and get on the out. And get to chow, and then they know they only got so much time to get that food down their throat and back to the cell. There's only a certain amount of freedom. Uh-huh. If you don't listen to somebody, if you don't listen and obey somebody, I don't even know why I'm saying all this, but I'm saying it anyhow. Because somebody got the idea that freedom is doing whatever you want. It ain't.
Right. That's right. Right. That's right.
It isn't. There we go, Froggy English majors. The second thing is, you become a child of God. You're either child of the devil,
right.
or a child of God. There's no in-between ground. You're either obeying the will of your flesh, which is under the control of Satan.
That all through the Bible. You're calling me a devil person. You're calling me. No, I'm not. But when you run around and you do whatever you think you want to do that's diabolically opposed to the Word of God, you're following after the teaching of Satan. Satan is a humanist. Satan is one. And I go like this. I wanted to stay focused, but now I'm not focused no more. Okay, I just read this huge article that the Satanist temple founded up in Washington, of all places, the state of Washington, has now received tax-exempt status because they have proved enough following that they are a religious organization. They have tenets of faith. They have bylaws. They have everything that a church does, and therefore now they have tax-exempt status. And then if you go on and you read all of the satanic belief systems, so on and so forth, it is humanism, humanism, humanism. You are your own God. And that's what the devil wanted to do. He said, we don't need God. I'm going to be like the Most High. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to be in charge. You proud, arrogant individual, that is a spirit of Satan.
Right.
Against that spirit of humanism that is even trying to get inside of the church and say, I don't have to do, No. You will obey somebody.
Right.
So now even the Satanists have, when you look at pictures of these guys, even when you look at the man that is the head of the Satanist temple, nice short haircut, clean shave, wears a suit, looks perfect. No tattoos, no piercings, no craziness. Not that I saw. He did have some clothes on. There was one picture of him having a short sleeve shirt, and I didn't see any tats on his arm. Nothing. And sometimes that is all related to those types of things. Sometimes, don't get mad at me. Well, there's people in this church, and you've done stuff in the past, and it's gone. It is forgiven. It's forgotten. Okay. So don't get mad at me. But the Bible talks about engraving things in your flesh.
Right.
The Bible talks about symbols of death, engravings in your flesh that you got to be careful with. Okay, so there is stuff in the Bible on that. Well, there's no Bible for this and that. Yes, there's nothing new under the sun.
Right.
Nothing new under the sun. Self-mutilation has been around for a very, 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 very long time. They still do a ton of it in the Micronesian Islands, in the Samoan Islands. That's their tattoos. They keep on cutting themselves, until it builds up into a scar. And that's the way they do their bodies, okay? The Bible teaches us all those things. So don't get mad at me and say, he's picking on me. I ain't picking on nobody. Sometimes people just go, I didn't even know that was in the Word of God. And that's why you need a preacher.
Right. Yeah.
I didn't know that was in the Word of God. I didn't know God even cared about stuff like that. That's why you gotta have the Word of God.
Right.
So you do know the stuff that's in there. Throwing anybody under the bus, but here's what happens. You've been forgiven of those things that you had no idea, because the Bible said judgment begins in the house of God. Everything you get out there, God says, hey, I'm going to give you a clean sheet. I'm going to give you a white slate. We can start this thing all over. You can be forgiven for everything. I gotta get back here. We become a child of God. He forgives us of our sins, and now we become a child of God. But as many as received him, to him he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That's a benefit to us. Anybody remember when I preached about how we come asking before God, whether you're a friend, whether you're a servant, whether you're a son or a spouse? Let me go put some of those things into practice.
Yeah.
I'm not going to ask him like I'm a friend that I'm ready to hear the word no.
Right.
I'm going to start asking like a spouse.
Yeah.
Then the answer's going to be yes.
Yeah.
Come on now. A son, would he give you, when he asks for bread, would he give you a stone? Ask for a fish, give you a serpent? I'm believing God to give us the desire of our heart. What is good for us? What is right for us?
Yeah.
Come on.
Good.
So I become a child.
child of God. You receive eternal life. That's the third benefit. John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. You have now escaped the death penalty.
Thank you, Jesus.
Right. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So y'all, at least give me a Baptist knock. At least that. Come on, this is the word of God.
Yeah. Yeah.
It says, I have passed from death. I escaped the death penalty. I had my neck in the guillotine, and the reaper was there ready to blood down the guillotine and cut me off. I was in sin. I was going to go to hell. I was going to be lost forever. But Jesus stepped in, and he gave me eternal life. From Satan's dominion and transferred into the kingdom of God. Colossians 1:13, who hath delivered us from the powers of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Oh, doesn't that make you excited? Hey, Satan got no hold on me. Oh no, I was on my auction block for sin, but Jesus came and he paid the price for me. Christ comes to dwell inside of us through the power of the Holy Ghost. Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory, of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. God wants you to know, I've got some riches to give you. And no, I'm not going to put $1 million in your bank account. You still got to go to work. You still got to get a job. Get up every morning and go to work. Put your work boots on and punch that time card and be a good employee and do it as unto the
Lord.
And do it as unto the
Lord.
Hey, I don't like sweeping floors, but praise God, I'm going to start whistling. He set me free while I play. I'm going to sweep these floors because I'm doing it for the Lord. Amen. I may not like my employer and he may not like me, but thank God I've got a job. And I'm not a lazy skunk, not providing for my family.
Amen.
Well, Lord, that kind of preacher will save your soul.
He'll
save your family too.
Amen.
There's some people that need to lose their job.
Right.
You can't go selling drugs no more.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm providing for my family. You are? Yeah, selling drugs and pimping. Oh, yeah. That's probably a good idea. Ain't no more. Huh, Brother D?
No more.
Ain't selling them drugs no more.
No more, sir.
Oh, yeah. My pastor, when he was 21 to 24 years old, was a drug runner, coming back and forth over the Mexican border, running drugs all the time. He got guns stuck to his head. So many things. All the cartels going back and forth, and the Mexican police and everything. You know, the Mexican police are just as dirty as the drug runners. They just see those drug runners come across and say, hey, man, we can get a free load right here. Yeah, go get it. I remember some of the stories that Pastor used to tell us, and then he would say, but you know what? When I got the Holy Ghost, I lost my job.
Yes.
Right. He said, I lost my job when I got the Holy Ghost. But what did I do? I went and got another job. And God began to bless me because I was doing it right. I was doing it, and God would bless me. Takes the drug money in their mouth and it's quote unquote easy money. But guess what? You don't go to sleep at night.
Right.
He was always worried about someone coming knocking on the door. And when they did, he was bailing out the window and letting his wife deal with it.
Wow.
What a man you are.
Wow.
No, what a mouse.
Right.
I'm preaching. And if you'll hear it, this will set you free. I say this type of preaching will set you free. You don't have to live like that. You don't have to live guilty and condemned. You don't have to live under bondage of sin. The next benefit is you become a new creature. I'm not going to read the scripture because I'm just going to move. Hurry. You are declared righteous by God. Oh, that's so good. God declares us righteous in this benefit package that we get. You're accepted by God. We preached this the other night. You're rejected by God when you become proud, arrogant, haughty, and think that you can do it your way. But you're accepted of God when you are humbly submitted to His will, to His way. Glory in His grace. You can have forgiveness of sins and be accepted by Him. Amen. The Bible calls Satan the father of lies because he lies. He twists, he distorts the truth. That deception has appeared time and time again. And look what he does. He makes everything look so good. He packages up sinful diseases and sexually transmitted diseases in these nice, pretty wrapped packages with a big bow. Saying, oh, man, you're going to have so much fun if you do this. Go ahead and unwrap that present. And it's all you got to do is just go sleep around. I don't even know why they call it sleep around. Let's just be real. They were having sex with anybody and everybody. And it's a big deal today. It's so accepted. But I'm going to tell you, that ain't the word of God. That's bondage. Maybe I am preaching to a Baptist church. That is bondage. That's bondage when you go sleeping around. No, never satisfied. You see, it ain't nothing about having another person. It ain't about having somebody else that'll love you. I'm telling you today that you can have somebody that love you like no other. And that is Jesus Christ. You can come to them. He'll be there to love you, to care for you. He'll be there to help you. He's a liar, and he snared Eve that day. His tactics have not changed for over 6,000 years. He's still packaging sin in a nice, pretty way, so it looks attractive, so it sounds attractive. But since the fall of man, I got to slow down because I want you to get some of this. Since the fall of man, okay.
How long have I been preaching? 27.
Who set the timer?
27 minutes.
27. 27? Thank you, brother. Okay. He'll be saved. Keep going straight now. Since the fall of man, I'm only 27 minutes. That's pretty good. You guys got a lot of information in 27 minutes. Think how much more you're going to get in the next 3 hours. Since the fall, man has failed to turn God from the truth about himself. Instead, he has looked to others to meet his inescapable need, and that is the need of self-worth. Every one of us has this need. Every one of us wants to know their value.
Amen.
I'm slowing down. I want you to catch this. And so the devil gets you to buy into an ideology, a thought process that many of us have said, I am what others say I am. How do I know that? Because there's some that you grew up with your mom or your dad or your uncle telling you you are stupid, and so you have believed that you are stupid. Many people will also find their value in the way that others see or view you, what their opinion is of you. And so you get your self-worth from those things. The problem is all of us face or have this
flaw in us. Okay? You may not verbally say some things like this or a combination of them, but it's in your mind. I know this. I know this to be true because I've dealt with people enough to know that this happens to us. And not only have I dealt with people enough to know that this happens to us, it happens to me. I'm concerned, and oftentimes way too concerned, about what people think and their opinion. Now, there is a place and there is a value, but listen to me. Listen to me for a minute. It's amazing, though, to understand that we turn to others who have a perspective as limited and as dark as our own to find our own self-worth. I struggle with self-esteem, but I look to other people that struggle with the same thing to find out what my worth is. How? I'm trying to think of a good word.